Our gracious God, we thank you that today you have given us your perfect love, that your Spirit is here among us. As we spend this time together in your word and in this message, I pray that you would guide us and direct us and take away our fears, take away of what scares us, so that we can fully be the people that you called us to be. And we ask all this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now today we are continuing this message series, sermon series on Pixar. Now, I've got to confess to you that I'd never seen any Pixar movies until our granddaughter arrived. And now I've seen all the Pixar movies, and I've seen them many, many times, actually. Especially this one I get to speak about today, which is Monsters, Inc. Now, let me just ask, how many of you here in the room have seen Monsters, Inc.? Raise your hand. Well, that's surprising. A little more than I expected. Some of you I know have seen it because, like me, you're a grandparent, and you're a parent, and you want to see it. This movie was in 2001. It's about a fictional city and a movie about fear, where monsters reside and they're powered. The city is powered by the screams of human children. These monsters jump out of closets and scare children, again, so they can collect power to run their city on. Now, in order to set the movie up, I think this opening scene from the movie will help you catch up if you don't know what this movie's about. Watch this. Now, you may have found yourself in that movie as the grandparent first time they dropped your grandchildren off to watch them. Monsters, Inc. highlights childhood fears that often follow us as adults. A question for you this morning. How many of us have never outgrown our fear of monsters? You say, well, you know, I'm not scared of that kind of stuff. But how many of us lie awake at night terrified of monsters like failure, financial pressure, rejection, fears that we might not measure up, a fear that we can't get over our past and get free from it? Maybe it's the monster of a bad habit or an addiction that you feel you can't defeat. Maybe it's the monster of fear that somehow you will let God down and you can't ever be good enough. And we know we live in a world where there's growing fear all the time. Cultural wars that challenge our biblical foundations and values. Fears about qualifications and adequacy of political candidates. Uncertainties in an unstable world economy. Growing tension, violence, and terrorism. How many of us lie awake at night scared of those things? So what is fear? Fear is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief someone or something is dangerous, likely to cause pain or a threat. Now, this morning, we need to identify that there's secular fear, which is a feeling of alarm, things we're scared of. But there's also biblical fear, the result of awe or reverence toward God. In a broken and unstable world that we live in, and certainly our world is broken, our world is unstable, there's always going to be reasons to be afraid. And there's appropriate fear and inappropriate fear. Let me introduce to you two of my favorite characters from Monsters, Inc. We got Sully here, and we got Mike Wazowski. Now, these are the two of the main characters in the movie, and these sit right over my granddaughter's bed. These are her two favorite stuffed monsters that she has in her room. And Sully here is a scare champion, and Mike Wazowski is his best friend and his scare assistant. And they're roommates. And, you know, the irony of the movie Monsters, Inc. is that these monsters that scare children are scared of children. It's been my experience that people that try to scare people often have some demons, some monsters in their own life that they're scared of. Bullies that want to bully people often have monsters that scare them. You see, we need to understand what we're scared of. In this movie, they believe that children are toxic. Children are dangerous. Watch this clip as a child stumbles into their world. So there's inappropriate fear, but there's also appropriate fear. What is appropriate fear? It's fear that leads to responsible diligence and discretion and discernment without conceding God's will or God's holiness. There have been times in all of our lives that fear has been a gift from God, a gift to escape a dangerous situation, maybe giving us additional adrenaline that we needed to overcome something we needed to overcome. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of all witness, of all wisdom. So how is the fear of God good for us? How is it appropriate? And what is the fear of God? I believe that when we understand the fear of the Lord, it will help us overcome our secular fears. The fear of God is awe. It's amazement for who God is and whom I'm not. It's where I stop and God keeps going. It's the awe that God is all powerful and that God can do things that you and I can't do, that God is the creator of the universe, that God is in control and God is in charge. What is the fear of the Lord? It's apprehension. It's a desire that I have in my life that I want to honor God. I want to please God more than I want to please myself. I want to please God more than I please people. It's apprehension to please God. But it's also appreciation that I'm grateful for God's mercy, grateful for His grace and for His love. Appropriate fear. I know that whenever I start getting distracted in my walk with God, I get busy with other things, maybe busy doing church work, it's surprising how quickly I can lose confidence in God. That circumstances and events and people or problems or pain begin to cause me to worry, cause me to get anxious, and leads to inappropriate fear. And what is inappropriate fear? It's fear that can ambush. It's fear that can paralyze us, causing us to doubt our faith. Inappropriate fear causes us to retreat. It causes us to shut down. It causes us to go into hiding. It's where we begin to reject God's love. I love this statement that inappropriate fear is momentary atheism. It's when we ignore God's power, ignore that God is present in our world and in our life. And what does inappropriate fear do? It cripples our confidence in God's goodness. It makes us ask, where's God at? Why did this happen? What's going on? Where is God at? It messes with our memories of God's faithfulness. We forget how faithful God has been to His people. Throughout the scriptures and throughout history, God has been faithful. And God always provides a way out, a way of escape. It also paralyzes our potential. There is so much potential in this room today. And much of it is paralyzed by fear. By fear. Let me ask you a couple questions this morning. How many God-sized dreams have you and I not realized because of fear? There are plans that God has for your life that you've not realized because of fear. How many God assignments, appointments have you missed because of fear? What has our families missed? What have our friends not seen? What has this church not yet experienced? What has this community not yet realized because we've been afraid? We've been scared to take God at His word and go and minister and be His witnesses. You know, it's only after Sully and Mike accidentally allow this child into the world, they're forced to face their fear. And many of us never want to face our fears. The fear of the unknown, the fear of the outsider, the person that's different than us. But for these two lovable monsters, their fear begins to unravel, and they discover there is a much deeper and powerful source of power. Watch this. There have been a lot of things in our life that we thought were killing machines, that we were afraid of. You know, one of the great lines in this movie is whenever these monsters discover that laughter is 10 times more powerful than fear. That laughter is 10 times more powerful than fear. I don't know if you saw it or not, but whenever the child screams, it lights up one row of lights. When the child laughs, it lights up a whole city block. Fear is the enemy of faith. God wants us to walk by faith. There's an evil presence in our world that wants us to walk in fear. Fear wants us to look at the size of the problem. Faith says, look at the size of our God. Fear not, or do not be afraid, is found over 300 times in God's word. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. This morning, I want you to know that the power of God's love is not just 10 times greater than fear, not 100 times greater, but immeasurable times greater than the power of fear. I want you to know this morning that the power of God's love is greater than your fear of rejection. That God's power and God's love is greater than your fear of failure. It's greater than that addiction that you're battling. It's greater than that fear of serving God. It's greater than the fear of sharing God's word with someone else. I don't know what the greatest fear is of Christian followers of Jesus. I don't know what they're scared the most of, but what I hear from people is that people are scared to tell other people about Jesus. Now, why is that? What are we scared of? Are we scared we may say the wrong thing? Are we scared they may not listen to us? Are we scared we may offend them? I want to tell you that the Bible is crystal clear that Jesus called all of us to go and tell the story of the good news of Jesus, that we are all to be his witnesses. And I learned a long time ago that I don't change anybody. I don't save anybody. God changes people, and God saves people. But there are a lot of people out there longing and waiting for you to tell them your story about Jesus, how you met Jesus, how Jesus changed your life, and how much Jesus loves them. This church would be incredibly impactful in this world if all of us would not be scared of telling others about Jesus. Maybe it's the fear of others. I want you to know that God's power is greater than your fear of others. For some here today, it may be the fear of generosity. Let me just say a word about that. Maybe it's about the generosity of time. We've stood before this platform many times and asked people to go out and serve God in some way. I know many of you have thought about that, but then for whatever reason, you were scared. You said, I don't know if I can't do that. Maybe you were scared because you didn't have enough time on your calendar and that there wouldn't be enough time left at the end of the month if I start doing this for God. You know, I'm really, really busy. And maybe when it comes to generosity with what God has given you, you're afraid that there's not enough left at the end of the month because you're more concerned about that. I get that fear. But also I know that our God is greater than all those fears. And I also know that one day when you and I step into eternity, we walk through that door into eternity, we'll know exactly what we should have given, and we'll know exactly what we should have been doing. And I want to hear these words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, instead of going, hearing the words, what were you scared of? What were you so afraid of? Why didn't you step out? Why didn't you speak out? Why didn't you share all that I've given you? The love of God is more powerful than any fear in this room today. So how do you overcome your fears? How does this church, this crowd of people right here in the room this morning, there's enough people in this room right here to change Lexington, to change the Midlands, right here in this room. How do you do that? Well, let me give you four things real quickly. It'll spell out the word fear. The first is face your fears. Face your fears and say to God, I'm afraid. I need your help. And that includes all of us guys in the room who don't like to admit that we're afraid. Let's go ahead and own it and say, there are some things that I'm scared of. And God, I need your help in my life. I need to know that your power is greater than what I'm afraid of. If you're going to face your fears, you got to listen to God more than you listen to scared people. There's a lot of scared people in this world who want you to be scared. I can't stand watching the news much anymore because the news is about scaring people. Scaring people how bad the world is and wanting us to tell others how scary everything is in the world. Now, I admit that the world has got some issues. It's unstable. But God did not give us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, at every step of this church's growth through the years, there's always been concerned people as we made decisions here. There's always been courageous people as you make decisions. And there's always been scared people. And I have to confess, there's been a few times as the pastor that I've been scared. that I'll wake up in the middle of the night going, what are we doing? Why are we doing this? And always God brings courageous people into my life to say, God's got this. God has got this and God has got you and don't be scared. But too often, we only hear the voices that are scared instead of listening for the voice of God that says, fear not, I am with you. The second thing we've got to do is we're going to overcome our fears. We've got to experience God's love. We've got to experience God's love. 1 John 4 says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. Our love grows more perfect. And say it with me. So we will not be afraid. Say this with me. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment. But we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in the world. You want to overcome fear in your life? Begin to live like Jesus. Not like the people who are scared, but the people who want to be like Jesus. Such love has no fear. Because perfect love expels all fear. These verses tell us how to find the thing that everybody wants to find. And what is that? I believe it's the love of God. I believe we want to find love. We also want to find courage. So that when we get up in the morning, we're not afraid. When we lay our heads down at night, we're not afraid. I believe it gives us confidence that I can do all things through Jesus Christ who gives me strength. To live in God means we strive to be more like Jesus. And as we live in Jesus, our love will grow more perfect. Now, perfect here doesn't mean flawless. It means mature. We start loving like mature people should love. Last night after the message, someone sent me this post from Facebook. It's from Natasha, who's an African-American young woman. And she posted this. So this morning I went into a convenience store to get a protein bar. As I walked through the door, I noticed there were two white police officers, one about my age and the other several years older, talking to the clerk, an older white woman behind the counter, about the shootings that have gone on the past few days. They looked at me and fell silent. I went about my business to get what I was looking for. As I turned back up the aisle to pay, the oldest officer was standing in the aisle watching me. As I got closer, he asked me how I was doing. I replied, okay, and you? He looked at me with a strange look and asked me, how are you really doing? I looked at him and said, I'm tired, and his reply was, me too. Then he said, I guess it's not easy being either of us right now, is it? And I said, no, it's not. Then he hugged me and I cried. I'd never seen that man before in my life. I have no idea why he was moved to talk to me. But what I do know is that he and I shared a moment that was absolutely beautiful. No judgment, no justification, just two people sharing a moment. You see, when we experience the love of God, we begin to have moments like that, where we step out of the shadows and step out of our closets and we begin to experience the love of God with other people. I want to challenge you this morning to love God more than you fear your fears. Can you love God more than you fear your fears? That God has the power to change your life, to change communities, to change our world, and to change the church. Face your fears, experience God's love, and thirdly, attack your fear. Attack your fear with the power of God's love. You can't do it on your own. It takes the power of God in your life to really attack your fear. When you love God and God's love is in your life, it drives out fear. Fear and love can't coexist. When you truly believe that God is in control, there's nothing to fear. If you and I truly believe that God is in control, there is nothing to fear. Fear not, said Jesus. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, the early church, those first disciples, took these verses very seriously. They wanted to live out the love of God. They wanted to express the love of God. And they spearheaded a movement that exploded out of Jerusalem. It spilled into the ends of the earth, into the streets of Paris, into Rome, into Athens, into Istanbul. Something mighty, something controversial, something head-spinning. And the question for us this morning, 2,000 years later, is Jesus still doing that? Is he still calling men and women to change the world, to make the world a better place? Places like Dallas, places like Charleston, places like Lexington, Columbia. Will he use simple people? Will he use scared people to change the world? Don't let the evil one convince you that he won't. He will tell you, this evil one, that you should be scared, that God only uses specialists and experts, people with high-power personalities. But remember, before Jesus came along, the disciples were loading boats. They were cleaning fish. They were coaching soccer. They were selling Slurpees at the convenience store. They were just normal people like you and me. Their collars were blue and their hands were calloused. And there's no evidence that Jesus chose them because they were nice. Why did Jesus choose them? Because they were willing to turn their back on their fears and follow him. Will you attack your fears by following Jesus and being the man, being the woman that Jesus Christ is calling you to be? And I believe if you will face your fears and experience God's love and attack your fears, you will reach your goal. And what should our goal be? It's to accomplish our God-given purpose on this planet. It's to stand before God on the day of judgment with no fear of punishment. Why? Because I put aside my fears and started doing the things that God needs me to do and God wants me to do. Now, we're always going to have a world full of fear, but we can choose to be afraid, or we can choose to walk in faith and walk with the love of God in our lives. You see, friends, Jesus Christ defeated everything that you're afraid of. I don't care what you're afraid of, Jesus Christ defeated it on the cross. He defeated evil. He defeated death. He took our pain, our suffering, so that we could be free, free of fear. It is my prayer today that this weekend will expel fear and we'll move forward with new assignments, that we won't miss our appointments, that our family, our friends, our workers will start to see why God put us on the planet, why we're here to make a difference. Father God, I thank you that you have come to expel fear, and that you want your church, your people here at Mount Horeb, with every other church in Lexington and every other church in South Carolina and every other church in the world, to lift up the name of Jesus Christ, the love of God, to live like Jesus and not to be scared and not to be ashamed and not to be afraid to tell someone that God loves them. To ask someone, do you know who Jesus is? Let me tell you what he did in my life. He changed me and he loves you too. To give a cup of cold water to somebody who's about to pass out from the heat. To that person who needs a coat when it gets cold. To that person who's in pain and fearful, that we would show them the love of God, your love, Father. Father, for that person here today who has kept you out of their life because they were afraid of what you might want them to be and want them to do, I pray that they would open the door right now. Let the monsters go and invite you to give them peace, for you to give them strength. Father God, I pray that right now you would expel the fear in this room, and that the people in this room would realize your power and your love, and that this town, this community, our neighborhoods would no longer be the same because you are working in us and through us. And I ask this all in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.